Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, porn star Mary Carey. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a visit from Dave Damashek. And now, Mary's going to have to explain to him what porn is, because he's never seen it. Adam Carolla.
I think it's short for a bigger word. I just don't know what that word is. Maybe it's an acronym. I don't know.
Porntastic.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Might
good,
be.
Good to know. Good to know. Get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing, man. I read a tweet this morning that said the guy's been in like Afghanistan, been in the jungles, been in the swamps, been all over the place. Not in the military. Mm-hmm. Just has super low self-esteem.
Okay, yeah.
Banishes himself.
He's had maggots the size of Frisbees on his neck. Again, he hails from Sherman Oaks.
Bargain vacations.
I think he's a commercial realtor, actually, but he just hates himself. Now, this guy's been all over the world, and he says, I bring you with me. I love that. I love that. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. And Bald Brian.
All right, boys. Semper Fi.
Dave Damashek is here.
The fruit category is heating up. Oh, I had a delicious yellow peach just last night.
I got to tell you, man, I've not seen more range in the cherry department in many a summer.
Really?
My nanny brought home the Rainier cherry.
I know that's your favorite.
The jewel and the crown of all cherries, the meaty orange Rainier cherry, the yellow and red Rainier cherry. She brought us a lot of meat on that bone. And then the other day brought home the Bings, but the miniature ones, where there just wasn't a whole lot of meat around the seed.
Normally not as good.
Not good. Not good. Big range. All right.
Dave, for the fruit category, are there individual like brackets? Like, will something come out of the melon region? Will something come out of the
It's berry. Been discussed. The berry it's been region. Discussed. I don't want to ruin the purity of the most important, the granddaddy of all Shecky Award categories, the fruit of the year, the one that Adam Carolla and his pal Jimmy once ganged up on me at a wedding reception. And by the end of the full hour of them berating me for saying the apple is not just the fruit of the year, but the fruit of the century. Ooh. It was turn of the century.
Oh, yeah.
Shouting at me, gaggles of people gathered round. Little did they know they were about to suffer a shameful loss at the hands of Damashek. I took them both on at one time. By the end of it, I beat them with some sense named the glorious, beautiful Washington State apple.
I wish Mary Carey would take us on at the same time and not Damashek.
Yeah,
just for once.
Really.
One time.
The glass is half empty.
Just once. Could I have a porn star take me and Kimmel on at the same time instead of a guy with a mustache?
Hey, why? Apple's so good, Shaq. There's a people
Brian,
dressed in their suit and tie.
Ultimate argument. With the apple.
Okay, let's hear it.
When we go to Hugo's, order the breakfast, and get the fruit cup that comes with it, and has all the melons and all the other kiwi and everything else in it, what's left at the bottom when you're done picking through everything is pieces of apple.
Okay.
That is my argument for why it can't be number one. We're not saving it for last. We're getting to it after we get to everything else.
All right, first. I get to respond, yes.
Okay, all
please.
Right.
Yeah, of course. This is a civilized debate.
Hey. I mean, they're, I think I remember Ace Corolla talking about that you only need one lead guitar. You know, the Apple is the lead guitar. It doesn't, it's not going to mix up with a bunch of, it's a star. Don't try and put it below the title with a bunch of other also-rans.
Wait, were Adam and Jimmy advocating for the Apple to be fruit of the decade?
No, they were advocating against it. They were,
you were claiming the Apple, you of all fruit arbiters are saying the Apple was the fruit of the decade? Fruit?
Thanks for tuning in, Brian.
Of the century. Yeah. Of the century, sir.
That's why rough. I was making a point that it
the
was apple, bad.
The Honeycrisp right. is one. The Honeycrisp is one three times over the last 5 years. It's on. Yeah. It's a bit of a dynasty.
Calling
brewing.
It that. Well, first off, calling an apple Honeycrisp is like me calling myself Cash Y Dick. Like, hey, I like that guy. You do?
Yeah.
He's kind of a douche. Hey, Cash Y Dick is a great guy.
That's
what
right.
are you talking about? I don't know. I like the cut of his jib. Yeah, it's overcompensation.
People at the fruit factory, they overreached on that one.
Yeah, they call it delicious and ruby
really,
red
really
and all that Honeycrisp.
They're trying to make up for
it. What do the Rainier cherries do? They just pick a mountain and name it. They're confident. They're that secure.
Uh-huh. What's the worst name for a fruit? I have my answer. It was rhetorical.
I don't like the passion fruit because I believe it's the name that has pushed that ahead at the speed. It's right. It's a nothing fruit. It's gooey. It's weird. There's so many fruits that are better. It's fish nor fowl of the fruit area. I don't even know what it is.
I love that.
But because they named it passion fruit, we all go, I want in on that.
It challenges you to not be a dullard. Like, oh, you don't like passion fruit? What kind of vanilla life are you leading?
You don't like Vitawater? You don't like a smart car? Do you know the smart car's the worst car made? But yet I see them all over the place with idiots driving smart cars.
I don't know anything about cars, and I would have assumed that's a well-made car because of the name.
I talked to the guy from Edmunds who just, they get cars for like 1 year, and they just drive them for one year, and they just chronicle, well, we had to get a new timing chain after 8 months, or we needed a new fan, or the water pump gave out, or we drove from here to Vegas in July and the air was good but not great. That's all they do. And I said to him, you know, it's 2016, I said, is there a bad car made today? Because my sort of, this is under my never been a better time to be poor, drive a Ford Fiesta, have cold air, have everything work on the car, the satellite radio, everything. And he said, only the smart car. That's
really?
The only bad car.
Wow.
Every other car is complete. Go buy whatever you want. Don't buy a smart car. But I see people driving smart cars, and I realize they're dumb, but they want to appear smart. They come across.
Just in case I haven't said it on this show, four times at minimum, I want to say it one more time. The worst name fruit, the laziest fruit name of all time, is the grapefruit. Understand, there's already a fruit named grape in the world. There's already a grape, and it's little.
Right.
And the lazy guy must have been like 4:58 p.m. on a Friday. Like,
want to get out of that.
Let's just call that thing a grapefruit. Like,
right.
Hey, meanwhile, hey Gary, hey Glenn,
Ross.
We already have a. I didn't want to confuse the audience with Gary, the producer.
I agree.
What are you doing? They don't even look remotely alike. What are you doing?
You know who that guy should run into at a fruit naming party? The kumquat guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because that looks exactly like a grape. And he's like, I could have gone the easy road. Would have been very easy to do that. But I stayed late. Glenn, burnt the midnight oil.
Glenn, this is Cash White Dick. He named the kumquat.
Hold on. Let me tell my lady friends I'm going to step out of the conversation for a minute.
You know what a really trendy fruit is now? The jackfruit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. And you know why? Because a lot of douchebag vegans are using it as a meat substitute.
What is the jackfruit?
I tried it at this vegan restaurant. It was terrible. It's, you can sort of shred it so it kind of looks like pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, it's the same. You won't know the difference. You know the difference from the jackfruit.
The
jackfruit.
I got a question about pistachios.
Ooh.
Or more of a thought. I thought about this as I was eating pistachios last night.
Mm.
I thought, you know, one out of every 19 doesn't open. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the crack running through it. It's sealed.
Yep.
And boy, the pistachio, you know, when it doesn't want to open up, it's like a young incest victim in therapy. Just, I know the analogy's been made many times.
It's just in cliches
every
time. But
just a 13-year-old with her arms crossed, she's cutting on her inner thighs. And there's Donald Sutherland on the other side of the desk asking questions. Nothing.
His tweed jacket and his
won't open up any more than that 13-year-old incest victim who's now cutting on herself. You can't get it open. But if you're like me, who doesn't want to waste anything, not for cheapness, because I don't like throwing away food.
Or with 13-year-old girls.
Or I don't want to waste them either. What do I do? So what I was doing,
for example,
is I'm eating pistachios and I'm watching Deepwater Horizon. And I'm putting each unopened one on the arm of my sofa. And by the end of the halfway, by the middle of act three, I probably had 11 unopened pistachios there. And then I thought, someone's got to start a charity. These things need to go to hungry children.
Right. We need a project.
Well, first off, they need a sense of purpose.
Uh-huh. Accomplishment.
Nothing gives you a sense of purpose like trying to get into a nut. I've gotten into those things where I busted one off, but it's still this part of it peeled off, and I was using a pen to jam in there and dig that thing. I got a sense of purpose. Uh-huh. You could put those things in a pillowcase and ship them anywhere. Like, there's no, they need heat or cool or whatever. They never go bad. I had this thing where I wanted to ship egg salad to Africa. That was a disaster.
Yeah, that's a big ass.
Disaster.
Yeah. Near a refrigerator.
Don't get me started. I didn't want to go there.
You need a plane that's leaving. You got to get out.
But it was a mistake. My heart was in the right place. But with this pistachio thing, I think we could send this about anywhere. The kids, they got nothing going all day. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're just hanging out in the hut or whatever they're doing. And we give them the pistachio. We must throw away millions of metric tons of these things every year because there's a no pistachio opener. We have the nutcracker, like walnut crackers and stuff like that. They will not work on a pistachio. It's too small.
We can make
and
this
too hard.
Yeah, we can make pistachio ice cream out of pistachios. Send them to the kids who need the.
Yeah. Well, either way, we got to send these things somewhere. They got to be singled out and they got to be sent to a charity because we are probably dumping metric tons of this stuff. Everybody, the average.
You know what? The pistachio sometimes closed. Adam Carolla's beautiful heart
open.
Open the pistachio.
Thank you, Adam, for the inspiration.
Are you willing to chance it that they crack the few precious teeth that they have trying to open these things?
I would like to work on a pistachio nutcracker.
Okay.
I have a prototype right now. Okay. I can't say a lot about it.
We'll say a little bit.
It's still in R&D.
Okay.
But it's getting close.
Patent pending.
Yes.
And I would send this along with the pillowcase of unopened pistachios for the young orphan kid or whoever to get into and crack themselves. Yeah, I don't think they have teeth.
Is that insulting when you have the tool yet you choose to send the tool away instead of actually opening them yourself?
I'm a busy man, Brian. It wouldn't be insulting if I did it, but if you did it, people would go, wait a minute.
That's a really good point.
Long ago when the discussion was nuts, you once raised a fascinating question. Why did the pistachio get the red dye and no other nut did? Was that big pistachio saying this will help us stand out, or was it foisted upon them?
It had pink dye.
Yeah, that doesn't happen
anymore,
back? Right?
That's not bad. I mean, the green's back now, right?
The pink is all gone. Okay. But you remember the pink?
I do. That's a joke in The Naked Gun, right?
That's the only reason I know about it.
Right. My grandmother used to eat those. We should pick out other food that used to be colored. I will add cheddar cheese. Cheddar cheese was always orange, exclusively and all the time when I was a kid. Now they have orange, but they have the white stuff as well.
I just heard a fascinating discussion of this on Freakonomics on their game show. Tell me something I don't know. Margarine was ordered by law in certain states, like Wisconsin and certain dairy producing states, to be colored like black or blue in order unappealing colors, so people would not buy it because the dairy lobby was so powerful in those countries.
But I'm guessing the argument they made was we can't have it mistaken for butter. Because
sure
otherwise, it's just weird where you go, paint it black because we don't want to compete. They make some spurious argument says it needs to be, people think it's our butter.
Sure, right.
It's not.
Just so
it's too close.
With actual dairy products.
Well, interesting.
I the one in the fruit realm, back to the original topic, is, produce. You know, candy makers, there's a preponderance of red in the fruit world. And at some point at the candy factory, they got together and said, listen, watermelon, strawberries, raspberries,
all sorts of berries.
You're all red. You're all red. Somebody's got to bite the bullet. We can't just make everything red. Somebody's got to step up and be blue, and I guess the raspberry maybe got to draw the short straw maybe decided to distinguish himself from his red brothers and went blue. There's no such thing as blue raspberry in the world. And yet, when you go out to any, whether it's a slush puppy or a hard candy or whatever, the raspberry, always blue.
And you know what you're getting if you order blue.
That's
it's
right.
Raspberry.
That's right.
Yeah, every time.
I'm putting together a coffee table book. Uh-huh. You guys know what it's titled. It's entitled What Black People Think We're Talking About. And I will include this.
Blue raspberry.
Well, they're talking about, like, they're having conversations, which is the leg is going to have to be removed. But the question is I'm going to die in 3 years. So can I keep it until I die? Uh-huh. And we're having questions about slush puppies.
You know, the carrot was originally purple.
See?
Right. There you go. Yes, that's my coffee table book, what black people think we're talking about. Do you guys ever have this person? I brought this person up once about 2 years ago, but I was sitting. You know the person, it's always the chick, sorry, Gina Grant, who hears a word and then goes like, oh my God, don't go there. But it's not you. There's no intent behind it. It's not offensive to the person. Sometimes it can be actually encouraging to the person you're talking about. Like, I remember one time, like when I did Loveline on MTV and Stone and Stanley, our producers, would just go, don't bring up Hitler. And I'd say, yeah, but what if I say, he's not as bad as Hitler, but he's a bad guy. Yeah, no. Don't bring up Hitler.
The mere mention
of
the
third
rail.
And I go, well, why not? If you're using him as an example of a horrible person, then why is that offensive to bring it up? It's sort of the argument I would have when they'd go, like, you'd shoot a bit for Kimmel, and there'd be a French whore in the alley, and she's smoking a cigarette. Like, don't have her smoke. Well, why not? We don't like smoking. Yeah, but this is a French whore, and also, would you not admit that some people smoke? Like, I bet prostitutes smoke. I bet it's about 60% of prostitutes smoke. But we're not saying for kids to smoke. We're saying, look, this is a bad thing that bad people do. They just do the coverage. I was sitting at a table, and I was literally sitting with three like car brokers at the whatever De Elegance at Pebble Beach like last year, like sipping champagne. And
is this chapter in your book?
Yes.
People think we're talking about?
Yeah. And the one guy is saying like, well, they made 257 Lamborghini Miura P's, and then they made 375 of the S's, and they made 140 of the SVs. The SV is what you want, because the SV's knocking on the door $2 million, and they had a split sump oiling system, whatever it is. But the Hispana Sousa, that had a V8 made by Chrysler, probably worth about $1 million. And I paused 1 minute, and I said, this is exactly what black people think we're talking about all day. And the chick, the chick at the table went, oh, come on. No, you did. No, you did. And I said, no, I'm not. Oh, don't go there. And I was like, no, I'm not going there. No. Hey, don't let anyone count
me out.
And I said, I'm making fun of us. I'm making fun of us. Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I'm not touching that with a 9-foot ball.
Right, and I'm like, I'm making a joke about us here sipping champagne and wearing blazers. Don't even go there. Who are those people?
They hear
a word. It's like a trigger word.
Mm-hmm. You love Ace, the yes and people of the world. The 180 degree opposite of that is the close cousin to what you're describing, and I deal with this a great deal with people, serious sports talker types. If I make a strained analogy like, hey, that low cost quarterback is really the onion ring of the NFL because really, I as I say sometimes, onion rings are better when they're cheaper. Fancy onion rings taste worse than actual. You know, that's so that was a powerful analogy.
Powerful.
But people will give you okay,
that
thing. Like, what are you getting out of that? Because you have nothing to build on that. You just turn me into a jerk.
I think when dumb people aren't following, that's their de facto mode.
Yeah. Distance.
And they're never going to get That it is my morning show DJ talking about how lame a movie was. Did you see Titanic? Lame. Lameville. So lame. It's like when you're not interesting and you're not funny and you can't really put together thoughts about things or see nuance, you just go lame, lame, and more lame, and no one ever pulls you aside and goes, you know, you're wrong about Titanic. They just, you get to be, it's the same version of that, it's right?
Tell us how you really feel about it, DJ.
Lame city. All right, Dave Damashek's here. He's got a song worked out for us.
That's exciting.
We'll get to that. Now, I remember his last hockey-themed song. How was that reacted to, Brian? I believe you some audio of that.
Yeah, he sang a song to Mr. Teemu Selanne, to him personally.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
Hey, Teemu, I got a song for you.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. But to be fair to him, he's from like Moose Knuckle, Canada or something. I don't know where he's from, but they don't show a lot of emotion. I think the colder
did
the
he finish.
Oh, better. Can you guys tell me this? All right. Here we go. I have a theory. I think this one works. I'll share it with you right after I tell you about Blinds Galore. They got the 4th of July sale. It starts this week, up to 50% off of everything. One of their biggest sales of the year. It's ending soon. Hurry before the sale ends. It ends July 6th. 100% custom-built window treatments made to your order. Expert customer care team will help you every step of the way. Covered over 2 million windows. I have them. I have them here. We have them at the studio. I have them at the house. When it gets hot out there, man, you need Blinds Galore. The heat, man, right through there gives you the greenhouse effect. You don't want that inside your house. BlindsGalore.com. They'll help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted, and you won't have to pay the big bucks for it. Don't forget, check them out during their big 4th of July sale. Up to 50% off of everything. That's BlindsGalore.com. They're good guys. They're good people. They came over to the shop the other day. They love seeing their product hanging over in the warehouse. Blinds Galore, let them know I sent you. I have this theory. My theory about is nothing gets done near the equator. If you go, like, no manufacturing, there's no, oh, man, that great precision automobile out of Ecuador. It doesn't exist. You got to get further away. You got to get toward Germany, and you got to get to places that have a little winter and stuff like that.
Climate.
And California didn't build cars. Detroit built cars, you know? And you could, there's a lot of reasons, but there's also a lot of reasons why we're just too busy enjoying the beach to build a car. The places that have the colder winters, I think people are, and the colder climates, the people are more subdued. It's like cells, you know, you freeze them, you get your water, you get ice. You go down to Louisiana, you get movement, you get personality. You go
warm,
to Jamaica,
folksy.
You get personality. There's a parade with a thong back every 10 minutes, you know?
Oh, you mean like stoic personalities and stuff.
Stoic
is what you're saying. Like
no.
Oh.
You mean stoic? Wait, which side? Sorry.
The north, the colder.
Yeah. You
get the more.
No, you don't get personality. You just get nothing. Yeah, stoic. You get no personality. Yes, you get that. You get no reaction. You don't get Louisiana. If there was ever a hockey player from Jamaica or Louisiana, he'd be laughing his ass off over that song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because, well, embodied by in upstate New York where the Olympics were once held, Lake Placid.
Right.
Everybody is sort of, yeah, pleasant, placid in a way. Mm. Canadians are famously more subdued.
You know, I bet you can tell. I'll bet you if you go to a barber shop in the South, it's a lot more lively than going to one in the East or going to another country where there's a lot of cold, going to Greenland or something like that. Bet there's a lot more movement.
You'll
in
get
those
the cut
places.
They give you in Greenland.
But you'll be talking hoops and talking, and in the South, yeah. You'll
right.
be talking, be lively.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right. Theory.
I like that theory.
Okay. Shaq, what do you got?
Well, listen, yeah, it's a grand, grand week for us, and more than one Adam Carolla show listener dating way back to 2006. There was a radio show of some repute.
Wow!
I used that opportunity to share my favorite hockey names in the world with all the listeners. I sang about it, as a matter of fact. I thought that that age of singing about hockey players had ended when Jonathan Chichu was shown the door, and some years later, Teemu Selänne retired. But then I heard the news earlier this week. Teemu Selänne, the newest member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. If you would, Bald Brian. You've paid your dues and scored lots of goals up in Winnipeg, where it often snows. You played for the Ducks in Anaheim. I missed the part, but Disney's a good time. Bruising glass, a glass, a glass, a glass. You're in the Hall of Fame, Teemu. So I made this nice song for you. No, thank you, Teemu. And you too, Chichu.
For any new listeners, you're wondering what the radio show is like.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
You can see Jack Silver in his office right now.
Get me Bonaduce! Yesterday!
He did not like the hockey talk.
He didn't like a lot of things about Dave.
Yes.
What, can you name anything he did like about me? Oh, yeah, when he saw the termination letter.
Yeah, he liked that. It when
he
you
liked
left.
Picking up your pink slip. He liked when you bullet. You always call it bulleting. I like to bullet that guy.
Who do you think he liked less, Mike August or Sheck?
What about Bruska?
Bruska, distant third.
He hated Mike August.
He did.
Why? Why would he hate August?
Why do we?
Because August had the
Van Stone.
Had Van Stone destroy his office.
Oh, I forgot about that.
August thought it'd be funny if the band Van Stone,
with his job hanging by a thread, August like, oh, it'll be funny to do that. Yeah, not since Ray Olhoffer thought it would be a funny move and a winsome move with Jimmy Kimmel running the man show to poop into Jimmy Kimmel's desk as. Someone missed the mark so horribly.
To answer your question.
I remember that both conversation. I remember telling Ray, you got to break back into the man show office and remove the shit from Jimmy's desk before he gets there in the morning. I mean, to be fair to Ray, he was 39 or 40 at the time. It was a while ago. You know, he was a younger man. It was, we all make decisions in our early 40s, late 30s that we probably look back on and regret. Sure. It's all part of being a 40-year-old. You know what I mean? You know, scant 20 years after you're supposed to have graduated college, you know.
Same
all those
time,
days.
Who are you to point fingers at the same time? You're talking about chipping egg salad over to Europe and impoverished nations. So,
foolish, can't judge.
Yeah, foolish mistakes.
Yeah.
Out of Mouths of Babes.
Yeah.
You gotta break back in.
Yeah, it's. I think there's a saying with this, youth is wasted on the young. You know, all the 40-year-olds out, 39, 40-year-olds out there, shitting in people's desks.
Who amongst us hasn't made a 40-something mistake?
He was just trying to distinguish himself from everyone else who wanted the job. You can't blame him.
Would you blame, let's say, Peter Pan's dad?
Yep, thank you.
When he did something foolish? His older uncle.
How old that guy is.
All right. So
to answer your question.
Jack Silver went out of town.
Right.
And Mike broke in with the band Van Stone and desecrated his office and then captured it on film.
Took lots of pictures of
and then
of
like sent it off to
genitals being rubbed on telephones.
Nixon recording himself in the Oval Office.
Picture of his kids and stuff. And then Jack was outraged. Of course.
which allowed August to be fired 3 weeks before me and Brusca were shown the door. Yeah,
that was awesome.
His hatred for August was more intense and focused, but his hatred for Damashek was greater and more spread out. He hated Damashek for the entirety.
It was linear versus a pinpoint. But either way, most of us landed on our feet.
Anyway. I would say it worked out really well for most of us. Yeah.
Well, I can't speak for Brusca
and Jack.
Mike and Jack. And Jack. And Van Stone. Van Stone was the third loudest band.
Out of Palmdale.
Out of Palmdale. Right. And
they were behind Windjammer. Those guys are cool.
Yeah.
And Scourge.
Scourge, I didn't like.
No, Scourge were dicks.
Yeah, Scourge were dicks, cool. And Windjammer was cool.
They were Calypso bands.
I love the fact, but you have to understand, Scourge was a Calypso band, and they were still louder than them, which I think pissed off Van Stone.
Yeah.
That's rock and roll, though.
They were a Calypso band.
Where are they now, Van Stone?
Palmdale, USA.
Still hanging.
Probably.
The lead singer can be seen in Windy City Heat. Oh, God. What's his name again?
Dave.
Oh, yeah, Dave. Oh, no, not Foley, but Stone? Something like that. He looks like that. And also,
he was in a scary movie, right?
Yeah.
He was a
super funny guy, but he made what was supposed to be his Ace Ventura.
In it.
Is that right? What was that one called?
It was like Frank McCluskey, insurance adjuster, and he had a little dog with a helmet. It was just a straightaway ripoff of Ace Ventura. And I played a cop, a detective in it, along with,
Dave Sheridan.
Dave Sheridan was the lead's name, yeah, and I'll think Frank.
And that's the when you co-starred with Dolly Parton.
Oh, right. It was me and Dolly Parton.
Look at Randy that cast.
Quaid. China.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan, Andy Richter.
Orson Bean. Kevin Pollak was in that movie.
What a cast this was.
Star-studded.
Andy Richter, Tracy Morgan. Yeah.
I forgot about it. Yeah, it was basically, they said to Dave Foley, like, here is your shot.
He said, no thanks, give it to Dave Sheridan.
Dave Foley, right. It's too many. All right.
Too many.
They even kind of look a little alike. Anyway, Dave Sheridan is a really nice guy and a really talented guy. There is that thing where it's like, you are going to carry this movie. Mm-hmm. If you carry this movie and it does great, then you'll get to make a whole bunch of other movies. If it doesn't, you'll never be the lead. You'll never get to carry a movie, because what Hollywood does is they go, that guy can't open a movie. And it's happened time and time again with guys that we come in and out of here where they get that one movie. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't work, it's not always their fault.
But it's
whatever.
It's a specious logic that they apply to that. An ensemble movie hits and somehow the woman gets the benefit of the hit. Like, well, he's in a successful movie. Ergo, we should put him in more. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, but that's just the way it goes. Mm-hmm. They'll go, Dane Cook, you get to make a movie and open this movie. You got like two tries, but if it doesn't work, you don't get to do anymore. And if it does work, you get to do Trainwreck, then you get to do whatever the next movie was.
Snatched.
Right. Now,
I guess
we're
if you hit,
crossroads,
that's
right.
The trick of it. What was your favorite? Entourage. The actor.
Adrian Grenier?
Not Grenier, but the character he was playing.
Oh.
Vincent Chase.
Vincent Chase. That was bogus.
Gary checked the tattoo on his arm.
He makes two really successful movies in the plot. Mm-hmm. Then he makes one bum movie, and then it's over for him in Hollywood. It's like, right. If you make one good movie, you can ride that for the next 15, 20 years. It's as though Hollywood doesn't notice that you've made 8 straight stinkers. M. Night Shyamalan's the best example of that. He made like 1.5 good ones coming out of the gate, and then got to make like 27 more.
Where the grass kills people.
Speaking of M. Night, somebody tweeted me, and they said, they know a guy named Marion, but his last name's not Cobretti. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember. My response was...
Marion.
Yeah, so he said...
I have it here if you want.
I said, I know a guy named Marion, but his last name's not Cobretti. It's Mambaretti or something like that. And it was another snake reference. And then he said, I bet M. Night Shyamalan's first name is Marion.
Oh. Oh wow.
But I have no idea. And I bet it's not. What is it?
Do you know? No, I don't know, but I'm...
Weird Indian long,
I was going to guess it was Indian.
All right. We'll work it out. Let me hop to the phones right here. You should. Ted, 37, Minnesota.
Hey.
What's going on?
Gina Sheck. What's happening?
Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Minaj.
Hey.
Minaj.
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
Minaj.
Huge fan, first-time caller, long-time listener, and just wanted to share a story to see if it falls under the category of underwhelming response to a great coincidence.
Oh, wow. Yeah, nobody ever responds correctly. Like, and I don't expect them to, but like I was saying, like literally 3 days ago, I was just standing by my front door, and I was just thinking, I got to put a peephole in, because when people knock, I can't see who's at the front, and literally was like... And this was Sunday, 10:30 in the morning. I was like, no, three people a month maybe knock on my door. What? And of course, when you share that story with someone, like,
good for you.
You go, yeah, weird, right? You stand by your front door thinking, I got to put a peephole in because I can't. It, right then. I heard you. Well, there you go.
More recently, what about Battle of the Network Stars? We talked about that for half an hour.
Yes. That was, and then Tom Arnold came in to talk about it. Anyway. Right, but you have to be there kind of thing. But so, Ted, go ahead. What was the underwhelming response? And maybe we can all overcompensate.
Okay.
To make you feel better.
That would be great because the response so far, well, here, I'll give you the quick version. I'm a musician that travels, and we were in Kansas City and ran into George Wendt and David Koechner.
All right. Wow.
I swear I was about to say 2 minutes ago when you were talking about Dave Sheridan, I said, you know, by the way, Ace, remember the place we used to always go to in the Valley after we would play basketball?
Hugo's.
Hugo's. I ran into Dave Sheridan once with Dave Koechner, and it was three Daves talking to each other. And now Ted here brings it up.
Wow.
I'll be like the dude sitting next to you at the sports table. Okay.
Lame.
No, anyway. They would never say lame. They just go,
whatever.
All right. So, Dave's pretty popular name. Anyway.
We're in the Kansas City airport, and we take these pictures with George Wendt and Koechner, and I tweet them, or not tweet them, but text them around to a couple of friends. And as an afterthought, tweet them to a friend of mine who has 10-year-old twins. And he said, he was the last one I replied to, and he sends back to me, WTF, I was literally just telling my twins today how when Norm would walk into the bar in Cheers, everyone would yell, Norm. And it wasn't even 2 hours before, we had not talked, we had not discussed anything. And then 2 hours later, I send him a picture of me standing next to George Wendt at an airport halfway across the country. And when you tell that story, in my mind, I was blown away. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. What are the odds of bringing up an 80s TV show that he'd probably never mentioned to his 10-year-old kids? And then talking about it 2 hours before, I sent him a picture of me standing next to Norm from Cheers. And the response when I share that with people is somewhere between, oh, well, there you go. And how about that?
Go. Yeah. All right. Should we all make him feel better?
Yeah. Sure.
Good God almighty.
You're so serious.
Sorcerer or something.
You're just making stuff up because that is not possible.
Gary, get Ripley on the phone. He won't believe this one.
That sounds awesome.
There you go, Ted. Do you feel better?
Oh, my God, you made my day. Shaq, just to get to hear you yell Frusenglazen, you know, I was just thinking about that 4 months ago. And now you bring it up today?
Wow. Thank you, Ted. I have one that is going to elicit the same non-response, but really help me break this one down and tell me what you think. I'm doing a little work on my house. And I got one room I've been working on, and I got the door shut to the room. I'm going to keep the dust out, so on and so forth. And I shut it at night, and then in the morning I go open it up to start work again. And the night before, I have this window, and it's up high, and it's very narrow. It's just like where light would come through. It's not a big opening. And it's like 6 foot off the ground. It's only like a foot high. And I sort of went, I don't think I got to nail plywood up over it. It's an opening, but it's like you'd be really hard to crawl through it. And I'm in a good neighborhood, and I'll just leave it alone. And I went. I said, all right. And the next morning when I got up, I went to go open the door to the room, and I like paused for a second. I thought, I guess like a feral cat or something could have got up in there. Maybe there could be something waiting for me in this room, a raccoon or something, a bird or something. And I sort of paused. Right when I paused, I heard a big ka-chunk inside the room. The room's empty. There's nobody working. There's nothing going on. It's not like, oh, the air conditioning kicked on, and sometimes you get that weird settling with the ceiling or whatever. No, it's like nothing kicked on. Nothing. It wasn't from another room. It was audible bunk, like right by the door. And I went, what is this? And then, of course, every fear came to the fore. And I went, is there something in there? What is this?
And it's possible.
What is this? It's an empty room, and there's a couple of tools sitting on the floor and stuff. I just walked up to the door, and I heard a ka-chunk, and it was audible, and it was something. And I don't know what. There's no movement. There's no nothing. Not like I opened the door, and the breeze blew something over. And I never opened the door. I quietly went around. And by the way, when you live with kids and a wife, there's a weird kind of posture you have to have, which is nothing going on here, but I'm walking outside in my slippers and I'm going to do a shoulder roll when I hit the front porch, but there's nothing to see here.
Remain calm.
Right. But dial 9-1 and then keep your finger on the 1.
I always walk around the house with a baseball bat.
Yeah. So I walk around and I look through one window and I realize I can see about 65% of the room, but I can't see the rest of it. So that's where the raccoon with rabies would be hiding. That's going to jump on my head or whatever. And then I grab the window that's 6 foot off the ground. I try to pull myself up to try to peek through. And when I peek through, here's what I see. The night before, In a closet opening that's right by the door that I was opening, but inside the new room, I was going to frame it out with the door jamb and a new door. And I took one of the pieces of door jamb, that 1x6 that goes in the opening that you hang the door on, and I tried to kind of put it in just to kind of dry fit it to see how it would work. But it turns out it was a little bit too long. And I ended up just kind of wedging it in there. And I went, all right, well, tomorrow I'll cut a half inch off and I'll hang it. And there it sat from 5 o'clock in the evening until 7:59 and 21 seconds the following day. And the second I put my hand on the knob, I didn't move. I didn't open the door. I didn't do anything. It just decided to, in that second, just to fall over right next to the door and land hard. And I was like, what could that possibly be? It was just wedged in there. Weird that it just, there was no movement. There was no, it's the great magnet.
I think Tamu speaks for everyone when he says,
wow.
Well, that is weird that if it was leaning in one direction and sort of wedged, that it could actually get enough momentum to tip itself past the 90 degree
angle. The real question is, it was almost all the way in, but it was a little long. The real question is, when you wedged it in, why didn't it fall over immediately?
Or never
fall over? Why did it wait, 17 hours and then fall right as I put? If it would have fallen in the middle of the night or even 10 minutes early, I wouldn't have even heard it. I'd be in the other part of the house. It's just a weird thing.
I have one. Wait. I have the one that I find spellbinding.
Can you, hold on. Can you beat that, Dave?
Was it the hinge side or the strike side of the jam?
Both of them.
Oh.
Well, in that case, proceed.
It was like, I'm gonna need to take 3/8 of an inch off of it when I'm done with it. But it's at the same time. The LA Rams had two white defensive players named Youngblood. Named Youngblood.
Jack and Jim
Youngblood.
And they couldn't even put a J in front of the Youngblood.
Right. That's right. Jack and Jim fully on the back of their jerseys. Not related. At the same time, in Cleveland, there are two black running backs named Pruitt, spelled the same way, Pruitt. Unrelated. In Dallas at the same
one
time.
One was a Greg Pruitt.
Greg and Mike Pruitt.
Dave, right. Gina was doing this news story yesterday.
Yeah, it's okay. Keep going. Go ahead. We'll humor you.
And in Dallas, less spectacularly, but still, Pearson, Drew, and Preston Pearson, same spelling, both black guys, unrelated. This makes my head spin. Everybody else gives me the Tamu wow.
Do you know?
Wow.
That's not crazy?
I met a guy once. Name was Howard Johnson. Didn't own a hotel.
What?
Did not.
Get out of here.
Different. Walk out of this studio
this
right
guy
now.
Did flooring.
How many young different bloods Howard can there Johnson. Be walking the face of the earth well, and they're on the same team?
You. Young blood, I got you in.
We're on board with
and
that one.
Different Howard Johnson. The city's got to go by Howie. They're going to be hitting him up for rooms all day.
Everyone's a creep.
All right.
Hotel.
Mary Carey is here, so we'll go quick. Jay, 48, Texas. Jay?
Yes, sir. A couple of weeks ago, I went to my daughter's high school graduation, and I had the empty chair there for the student that didn't make it until graduation. And
Was gunned down?
Deceased. He didn't make it for the rest of his class.
Right, he didn't make it. What happened to him?
Well, I asked my wife afterwards, and he was shot while breaking into a house to rob it.
Hey, Jay, can I ask you a sensitive question?
Yes.
Is his last name Pruitt or Pearson?
Or Youngblood?
No.
Oh, we're already on board with
sorry,
that.
Sorry, not Youngblood.
You're right. That's out of line. Pruitt that was out of line.
Or Pearson. You know what I'm saying? Not a Youngblood,
okay.
Right?
Okay, I gotcha.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jay?
Mm.
You yep. following me?
I am. It was Pearson.
Wow.
Now, for some reason, I have to ask. His last name wasn't really Pearson, was it?
It was not, Adam.
Okay, good. Sorry, you had just enough twang.
Jay deadpanned.
And I have just enough insane conversations with people who don't know what I'm talking
would
about.
Would that have been the high watermark of this podcast a decade old?
Right now.
It would have been. So he was a Pearson. Understood. And they left a chair open for him.
Like Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, sir.
You want to pull up a picture of Drew Pearson just so we could...
I think we get it.
The bigger the fro, the better. So the he had a massive fro going. He was one of those guys. Great, great fro. And they left the chair open for him.
Which is common in these situations. You know, it's usually, you know, maybe a drunk driver or a cancer victim or something.
But the
it's
felony
usually not a felony. Exactly.
Yeah. He was breaking into someone's house and
got shot.
Because he lives in Texas.
To return their cat?
Somebody shot him, yes?
Yeah, sir.
What was the story? God, you know, it has to suck to lose it sucks to lose a child, of course, or to anybody. Wow, man. That's Drew sweet. Pearson's got a serious, and a Fu Manchu that for days, but I forgot about the Fu Manchu because the fro was so prominent.
Eye-catching.
Yeah. It's got to suck because now you have to explain to everyone what happened. You know what I mean? I don't know. So where are you guys? I need a few more details, but where are you guys on the open, you know, the chair for Elijah? Although it'd never be Elijah, the chair for Elijah when it's involved, crime related. Yeah. Yeah.
I like Gina's idea, like the drunk driver and the innocent victim, but when it's potentially a criminal or a criminal act, mm-hmm. let's say that's a bit of a sticky wicket.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, you know what? They grew up there. They were still there the whole time, you know, kindergarten on. They're part of that crew. So he's not there. You leave the chair open. Mm. But on the other hand, you're right.
It invites a lot of questions.
Uncomfortable for the family.
Mm-hmm. Could we compromise and have, like, a seat from a prison bus? You know, it's a compromise,
sure,
what I would
sure.
suggest. Look, we're all fair-minded people.
It's one of those metal prison toilets that doesn't have the seat on it.
With no seat. Yeah. Something like that.
That's a
representation that is fair to both
parties.
That
one's got to be Pearson's seat.
Totally
right?
Equitable.
All right, Jay, at the next PTA meeting, perhaps you float that idea. Jay? Oh, sorry.
He went to go do that.
All right.
You got it. I'll bring it up. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, please bring that up. And explain that you're coming from a place of understanding.
Healing,
but problem solving.
Pragmatic. Yeah.
Okay, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Did they announce who they must have announced who the seat was for, right?
Yes, sir. They gave the kid's name out and just let us know that that's what the empty seat was.
Did they give any backstory?
No, I had to get the backstory from my wife.
Yeah, it's important, you dick. You must get this story. Thank you, Jay.
Yes, sir. Thank
you. I'll see you in hell. All right. And let's see, Daniel, 27, Chicago.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
Right.
Still,
what's going on?
Still laughing at the thought of presenting in front of the PTA meeting, suggesting a prison bus as a seat. But
well, there are no bad ideas at those meetings.
Yeah, they're spitballing.
Yeah, brainstorm. And I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm saying here's a suggestion.
It's a jumping off point.
This is going to happen again. Let's not turn a blind eye to it. If you're a doctor, okay, mm-hmm. and you discovered cancer in a patient,
okay,
would you just put a pillowcase over her head and run out of the room screaming?
No, you'd want to have a plan.
All right, well, then we have to bring this up.
Yeah.
I do love when people do that.
That guy is a great guy.
I love that guy.
Same I don't even know how you define that guy, but you got him.
All right, Daniel.
It fit in well in the Chicago Public School.
Thank you.
Anyways, my question was, I've got tasked recently with coming up with the event. We have like a quarterly team outing for work. I was tasked by my boss recently to come up with the idea. The ones in the past have been pretty lame, like, lame in my standards, like bowling or just like a dinner or something.
Why is bowling the de facto default choice for every like work outing? Bowling sucks.
And there's nothing team building about bowling.
Bowling sucks. It's fun to sit around drink and watch people
bowl. I think you're being hard on bowling, but it's a lazy choice. I'll go with you on that. I have fun. It's fun to do, but it's a lazy choice. There are many other things you could do. Yes.
Totally agree. So we have like, I was thinking we have like the Goose Island Factory in Chicago. I thought that might be fun to do it.
Nice IPA.
Drink,
I didn't know Brian was so angry at bowling.
I think it's the laziness that bothers me. Bowling is boring in and of itself, but it's like passion fruit for you. It's like, there's nothing wrong ostensibly with passion fruit. It's nice, but it doesn't need to be everywhere. It doesn't need to be omnipresent.
Well, I like bowling birthday parties.
No, you don't.
I think Brian takes it a step further, which is I do hate the taste of passion fruit, but I like bowling.
Okay,
it's lazy, but I have fun. I mean, I do it once every 7 years and probably enjoy myself. But it's been supplemented with lots of burgers and brews and music, and they've dressed it up.
Well, figured this out years ago, Ace. People hate what they see in themselves, and
it's the pepperoni
and
pizza
Brian in a bowling ball.
Oh yeah,
a little too close.
Yes. If you turned your back and we put them both on a shelf at 5'8½, and just let the
pounder.
Top Brunswick High luster.
I'll be honest, I actually have no problem with bowling. I got tired of people putting their fingers in my eyes.
That's right.
What's wrong with this thing?
Hey, there are other sockets they could put those fingers in. Hell of a lot worse, my friend. All right, so Daniel wants...
What kind of work does he do?
Yes, good. Daniel?
We do consulting work, so we have a decent budget to spend on things like this.
Good news! Hey, middle age! Actually, ladies, make your way to the front here. Go ahead, don't be shy. Sit down. Quick screen's up. Hey, we're going to go down to fast lanes and have some fun over there. But instead, Daniel decided to break the bank over here at Thirsty's. So come on down there. Jade Stage 5, Stage 5. Jade. Hey, let me consult your wieners. I got a suggestion. All right. Yeah, you could rent out the whole place.
That's how it would go.
Yeah. Hey, Daniel. Goose Island. Yep, that's kind of cool. As a matter of fact, I think I saw their Goose Island. It's literally an island.
Yeah, where it is. It's near north. It's just above the famous loop in Chicago. I threw on many, many drunks there in my Chicago days, and they do have good beers there.
I like that idea. And I can't remember what I was looking at. I can't remember if it was Goose Island or another IPA or something, but they're showing where it was made, and it was made in this really interesting. Hmm. Am I onto something, Daniel, here, or am I way off?
No, you're right. It's like an old part of town, an old factory.
But there's no body of water nearby that it's next to, the island parts that come from anything?
I don't know about the island. I mean, it's close to Lake Michigan, but I'm not certain about an island.
Oh, we're
it's
looking
right
at
near
it.
The Chicago River.
I was looking at something else. But either way, you guys can get drunk and head down to Lake Michigan and have a good time.
Is the Cubs game like passe because you're from Chicago? Like one of the best times I ever had was on the rooftop, you know, because they barbecue.
I don't think they do those
They could
anymore.
Be Sox what? Fans.
They shut those down? They were everywhere.
I don't know if they shut them, but don't they now have all sorts of signage that blocks it so that you can't do that any longer?
I think.
Yeah, they it's a little bit more selective picking. There's not as many buildings that have the view anymore after the signs went up. But yeah, that's a good idea.
I may be biased here, Daniel, but if they have one of those fast lane indoor go-karting tracks, that is a ton of fun.
That is fun.
And I will Yeah.
Sorry, that was one of the thoughts I had, but we have a like restricted list of things you cannot do, and that is on it, unfortunately.
Go 7 miles an hour.
Hey, everybody! They're back! They went down to the fast lane, turned a couple of hot laps. Hey, speaking of pole position, Jade, get on the pole. All right. Hey, Daniel. You know, the other thing that's interesting about those karting places, Gary did find the brewery that's on an island that I somehow was looking at. The problem is when you're glancing through pictures of breweries, you're usually buzzed at an airport. And I must have, I don't know where it is.
Where is it?
It's here?
Gary, you can speak.
No, I'm sorry. It says located in Maine.
Oh, in Maine. Sorry. Okay. It's in Maine. So it's a little drive. All right. So here's the thing. I just had this thought, but it's pretty good. If you are going to do the company karting thing, go-karts, it's all horsepower to weight ratio, right?
Okay.
And so you could say, because you think, all right, well, some of the guys may be a little better behind the wheel than some of the guys. Not fair to the girls to go racing or whatever it is. But Gina, if you and I got on one of those go-karts, I weigh 60 pounds or more than you.
Now,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, now I do. So I might be a better and a more skilled, I am a more skilled driver than you, but the extra 60 pounds and the motor that makes 15 horsepower, whatever, you are going to be faster than me. So I'll have the skill set, but you'll have the speed.
I like it.
And it probably evens out. Pretty good. Wow. Gary's feeling me on that.
Thing in Chicagoland to go and do with your company? I did this once.
You live there.
Arlington Racetrack. Go up and see the ponies run, gamble and everything.
I've been there. It's great.
That's a good time.
Kimmel, get that room. It's a great, you get like a whole suite.
It's a perfect thing. Everyone joins in. Everyone has fun. The
start
sort
picking
of
horses.
Yeah,
bucks
and put a couple bucks. And then you get the food and the booze and you watch. And
I wish it were legal in this society to have. I know dog fighting's got a stink on it and deservedly so. But I don't think the same standard would apply to Ricky Tikki Tavu and the Cobras.
It's Tavi.
I don't know why you like to say that, but anyway. Mongoose versus Cobra fights. How about that for a company event? Like, just throwing money on that.
I would watch that.
Hey, somebody asked me this question on my show recently, and
Daniel,
I'm interested
in
your answer. As a pugilist.
Marion against Ricky.
Snakes. I thought this was fascinating. What's the largest animal... With your bare mitts, of course. You don't get weaponry. What's the largest animal you could beat in a fight? I ask that of all three of you.
No, I explored this on Twitter, and you're not just looking for size, because I think I could take a manatee, but you're looking for, like, ferocity.
No, I'm looking for the largest animal you could defeat in a fight.
You cleared it up on Twitter and said the manatee was not, you're looking for biggest, baddest. But
I didn't say anything about baddest, largest beast that you could
defeat.
What
happened on Twitter? What was the
suggested manatee. Oh, what did I... What did I say?
I think a cow. Couldn't I beat a cow in a fight?
They're easy to tip.
Jump on his back? What's he going to do?
Yeah.
But, not a bull, mind you.
Right.
Tuna can get quite large.
I like manatee. I don't know that you're going to do anything with a tuna because I think they swim like 35 miles an hour.
Oh, never mind.
I'm with you on manatee in terms of
just
mass.
Size, yeah.
But also, I'm not sure how you would beat it up. Like, you'd
submission
have to drag.
Holds, I think.
I don't think you could get around a manatee. You'd have to drag it out of the water somehow.
You have to get off the land.
Yeah.
I was kind of
you know
what
would be huge? Oh, sorry.
It'd be funny if you were talking to a boxing instructor, though. Like, if you said, like, I'm gonna take this manatee out to the deep water and drown it. They go, oh, work the body to the late rounds. No, literally. This is the first time the take it out to the deep water and drown has ever literally been applied to a fight.
Well, in shades of McGregor v. Mayweather, somebody floated the idea of a shark. And I, well, of course, it begs the question, are we in the sea? Are we land? Are we on land?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I think the saddest statement I can make about myself is I think even on my terms, like Mayweather using the gloves and everything, I think I still lose to the shark on land. We start the fight on land. Now, the Saints defensive superstar Cam Jordan name drop said, no, just stand there for 20 minutes and let him just suck on air and then he'll die and then you could kick him. And his last breath. I said, you know what? Good call.
We got to get someone from PETA to weigh in on this.
And it's supposed to be that if you can flip them over on their back, they like go into a trance and like get paralyzed.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
Good to know.
Yeah. That could help.
Ace, what's your answer? A small bear?
No. The first thing that popped into my mind was a manatee as well.
Really?
I just thought, what is the biggest, softest,
amorphous blob?
Weakest animal there is, because I don't know what I'm gonna. I had thoughts about animal. You know, you don't want to mess with a kangaroo, for instance.
No,
they got good technique. I was with manatee in terms of mass per thing I could.
Where are manatees? Where do they exist?
Florida.
I've never seen
one. Giant seals. Essentially, I mean, yeah. if you don't know what a manatee is.
I said giraffe.
They call them sea cows.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So you guys may be on the same page.
I floated first. I said chimpanzee. I was inundated with videos disproving or telling me they would take my testicle and or eyeballs. So I got
which
rid of that.
Which animal, sir?
Then I said
the chimp.
Oh,
then
yeah,
I said giraffe. You know what's a giraffe going to do? Then people started, because I didn't know. Did you know? If I weren't telling, do you know that whether or not the giraffe's neck bends? I thought, like, what if it's a severe, like, just got a big stick in there and like it doesn't bend at all? No, yeah. It bends quite liberally,
quite easily, yeah.
and will hurt you badly if you go near it. Yeah, so giraffes out.
We've known that since the second
grade. I don't. What do I know? What were you doing in school? They're talking about the dexterity of a giraffe's neck.
I probably saw a picture of one doing something.
Yeah.
Other
looking
than
at the zoo.
Looking
Grad,
uptight.
What's your beast? Who's your beast you're going to mix with if you have to?
Well, I thought there was, I'm starting to think like marmot, like giant badgers, that
Ooh,
kind of thing.
I don't know.
Badger would be pretty tough.
But they just scurry. Grab it by the tail, smack it against the ground a few times, and they're huge.
Ace, are you familiar with this story that was going around a few weeks ago?
Oh, Aaron Foster?
Yeah, he spent 4 hours on Twitter and then a couple hours on Joe Rogan's podcast explaining why he believes he could beat a wolf in one-on-one
combat.
No
way!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's probably why somebody floated the question to me. That makes makes sense.
Ooh, Dave, when I replied to your tweet with, is it simply based on size, ? If so, I could probably take a manatee. You replied, said, no, what's the biggest, parentheses, read toughest, beast you could beat in a fight? So it's not just based on size, according to your original tweet.
Can you take the blaster out of the holster there?
Don't make me do it. Don't
get the blaster out.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, they're throwing stuff in my face. I got something to throw your way now.
Don't make me do it.
You're a jerk! You don't embarrass me like that.
All right.
A sea tortoise.
A simple yeah, but still would work nicely.
A sea tortoise is huge and you could flip it over and that's it.
Yeah, I just don't know that. I guess you could beat it. You get your hand raised, but you couldn't knock it out or do anything that way. All right. LifeLock. Study found identity thieves use personal data in an average of 9 minutes after they steal it. And someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. Do the math. I don't like those kind of odds. Your identity can be stolen in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. So if they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it. They don't outsource. They're right here in the U.S. of A. It's 2017, people. Let's get ourselves a little LifeLock, a little peace of mind, people. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock can uncover threats that you might miss if you're just out there on an island looking yourself. Let's do it. Let's be responsible. Let's go with LifeLock. Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
Just because Dave Damashek is here, Mary Carey will bring in 1 second. Dave Damashek, pull up the Ike Baebucci, would you please?
Ike Baebucci.
The thing I like about Ike Baebucci is Ike Abeabuchi had on his trunks. He was built like a brick shit house, and the thing, he's tough because David Tua is like one of the toughest dudes I ever. And he's like beating up on David Tua, but his trunks on Ike Abeabuchi says what, Damashek?
God first.
God first. Okay. Let's find out how that worked out for Ike Abeabuchi. Gary, can you give us a little rundown?
Oh.
Gina Grad?
Yeah, 97, arrested for abducting the 15-year-old son of his former girlfriend and slamming a car containing them into a concrete pillar. Child could never properly walk again. 99, staying at the Mirage and called a 21-year-old escort, attacked her in the walk-in closet after she demanded to be paid up front. Barricaded himself in bathroom until police discharged pepper spray. Prompted the Clark County DA to reopen a similar sexual assault allegation from 8 months earlier at the Treasure Island Hotel. This also prompted two more similar allegations in Arizona, sentenced to 2 to 10 years for battery with intent to commit a crime and 3 to 20 for attempted sexual assault. Sentences served concurrently. Released November 2015. April 2016, rearrested for violating conditions of his probation in Arizona.
So shit. Definitely not
Sorry.
A Jew.
So I'd say God may be top three, but not first.
Distant third.
You know what I mean? No. Maybe even top five.
I hear you. Yeah, but at least he
or
shows
maybe he's saying to God, hold on, let me rape this call girl first. And then...
God first. God,
hold on. Butt first.
Bite your tongue, God. I got to run my niece into a flagpole. And then... Well, I'll hear you out.
Nothing says fealty like putting God's name right about 2 inches above your anus, like he has.
Good
it
point. So. Every time you fart.
By the way, there was a guy Irv Ibiche on the same team, unrelated.
Unrelated. Abeabuchi. All right, we'll take a quick break. Dave Damashek, man, Facebook.com/Damashek podcast, Damashek football program. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on iTunes. Go to the NFL. com/check. All right, quick break. We'll be right back with Mary Carey right after that.
Here I'm walking through a field and I'm thinking about a girl just a few years younger than me that was stabbed to death.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America, and each one is called a cold case.
She said, I think my dad could be responsible. I think he killed them.
These are some of those rare cases.
Cold Case Files, the podcast. Don't miss a moment. Subscribe now on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or at PodcastOne.com. And don't forget to watch or DVR Cold Case Files, the TV show, every Thursday at 10 on A&E.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Another thing about the Scott Peterson case that has always puzzled us is the widespread, almost unanimous opinion that Scott was guilty before one piece of evidence was introduced. If you examine every high-profile case of the past two decades, O.J., Michael Jackson, Casey Anthony, Robert Blake, the Duke lacrosse team, Dr. Conrad Murray, you'll see that every one of the defendants had some group or constituency that argued on behalf of their innocence. But Scott Peterson didn't. When we took over the case, we soon found out that it was considered an accepted fact that he was guilty.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Yes, Ace Man, this is Arndt from Germany, but I live in Chicagoland area. Get it on. I do my impression of Dave Damashek. Frozen Glacier!
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Mary Carey in the studio, the star of over 100 adult film titles, and has directed a few as well. Got an event coming up. It's the Diamond G-String Contest, hosted by Mary herself at Delilah's in Philly. That's Wednesday, July 19th. More info at Delilah's.com and also MaryCarey.com. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. I haven't seen you since 2008 when I was doing Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah. How did that go? I saw you on Celebrity
Rehab. You know, I say that, you know, at the time, I mean, first of all, Dr. Drew really planted the seed for me. You know, as I tell him, I was like, he made a little grass grow, and then sober house, I had a little tree. Now I'm a big tree of sobriety. But I just didn't, when I did Celebrity Rehab, I thought I only had a Xanax problem, you know?
Have you been sober for 9 years now?
No.
Or so?
9 months. So.
Oh, 9 months. Oh,
it took a long time. It took a long time.
It took me 10 years.
But yeah, you know, I mean, he got me off Xanax, and he also, because at the time I wasn't sure if I want to still do porn or not do porn, so he was like, I think you should, you know, stop doing movies. So I stopped doing movies, and I had
such
gotten off Xanax.
Kill.
He's the
he
worst.
Won't sleep until everyone stops doing porn and pills and all the fun stuff.
But yeah, but now I contemplate, you know, sometimes I'm like, maybe I should just go back to porn.
Well, what is the, beside the money, is there a draw to porn? Like, you hear athletes go, like, I just miss the crowd.
The
I miss the excitement. I miss the whatever.
I mean, for me, like, first of all, I never really had any bad experiences when I did. Like, you know, I hear a lot of stories with girls that had these bad experiences. But, you know, I did mostly girl-girl. I did 12 movies with guys. Got to direct a couple. I never, you know, no one ever convinced me to do anything I wouldn't do. And I enjoyed it. I love being on set. I like the camaraderie of it. I like, you know, I don't know if I want to have sex with girls anymore. Maybe just guys. But I enjoyed
controversial.
I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed it. Yeah. Now that I'm older, I'm like, I'm not sure how I feel about girls.
Well, yeah, I kind of feel you on that one. I'm having some of those same thoughts.
And it's like the MILF thing now. So I'm like, I'll go be a MILF. But I don't know. It depends because I have a boyfriend, but he doesn't want me to do porn.
Yeah, that's a consideration.
Yeah,
my wife's got the same beef.
Your wife doesn't want you to do it.
No, like, now I can't do porn anymore.
Ball and chain. Yeah.
No matter how much they offer.
How did you start off? How did you get into porn? It's always it always feels to people who have nothing to do with the business. It feels bizarre. Like, how do you get into this world?
It is. You know, I grew up in South Florida. And I was a ballet dancer growing up, and I loved being center of attention. And somehow, like, when I couldn't do ballet anymore because I started drinking, I lost. I mean,
that story. Most people are like, I fractured my tibia. But it's like,
well,
I started drinking.
I can see the whole trigger now through all the therapy. But when I was 16, my grandparents had raised me. My grandfather died when I was 16. And then I started taking care of my grandmother and my mom.
Didn't you have like a special needs mom?
Yes.
Do have a special needs mom?
Yes,
I
do.
I caught that on the Celebrity Rehab.
And when we were actually, I did your show, she called in and we had her name dates. Or you talked to her.
Yes.
You talked to her.
Yes.
I think you talked to my dad too, actually.
Right.
He's also
it's all coming back to
my
this
dad
special
has
needs
cerebral
host.
Palsy. My mom is schizophrenic, and Dr. Drew thinks fetal alcohol syndrome. Wasn't diagnosed back then, but they're both, you know, slow. So they met at a religious retreat. They got married and had me. And so, of course, my grandparents had adopted my mom. So they were kind of like, oh, my God, now we have to take care of another child.
Your grandparents adopted your mom in the first place.
Yes.
Very early on.
And
they got somebody who may have had or evidently had some issues.
Yes.
But Drew's going with the fetal alcohol thing because it's like some bad parent didn't stop
drinking during
the pregnancy. Dropped off grandparents. And so now you're being raised by two people with problems.
Except for only for 3 months, because then my grandparents stepped in when I was 3 months old and took over. And then, so I lived with my grandparents and my mom.
Yeah, they intervened. You know what they announced? We don't want her ending up in porn.
They would be very sad, actually, about that. They would be, because they were very conservative. We moved to Florida when I was 7. They gave me an amazing education. I did ballet. But then when I was 16, my grandpa died. And that was like losing my dad. And my grandmother was sick. And so all of a sudden, I started having boyfriends. Up till then, I was like a little ballet nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care about having a party life. All I wanted to do was ballet and spend time with my grandparents. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God, my grandma's going to die. I'm going to be alone in this world. And I all of a sudden discovered how easy it was to have boyfriends.
Would you have gotten into porn if your grandparents were alive?
No.
I would have been
a ballerina. I would have stuck with ballet.
Pictured the look on Grandpa's face.
Oh, it was just a total different, you know, I realized I needed attention from guys. I needed attention. I got into drinking to like ease the pain of the death of my grandfather, and my grandma was sick with Parkinson's.
And so, I won an amateur contest in a strip club. I had a boyfriend who took me there. And then from there, I started working there and saving. In Florida, they have a magazine called Excitement, and it has an interview with a porn star every month. So for months, I lived with my grandma. I would read it, and I had a stack of these porn magazines under my bed. And I was like, I want to be like these porn stars. It looks so glamorous.
That'd suck for Mariah's 14-year-old brother. You're hiding your porn under your sister? That perfect angel ballerina. You're hiding your porn under her bed.
I've never seen those in my life.
Stay out of this. You, my friend, are grounded for life.
I don't know what those are.
The fact that you would A, have the porn magazine, but B, have the temerity to put them under the earth. This is an angel.
No, I swear
your older sister is an angel.
I have stacks and stacks.
He's an angel. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, and then I contacted an agent in the magazines. The porn star on the cover, she got booked at the strip clubs, and I was like, I want to be a porn star and a feature, and so I contacted the agent, and then he set me up with going on the Howard Stern Show, and then from there I came out to L.A. and started doing a lot of work for Playboy and did some porn. And
I don't see my feeling with the porn and the ladies, and then not beyond the porn, just ladies, beautiful ladies, is the same kind of feeling I have with like the child star, where you go, oh well, look at that guy, such a mess, and you look at the Coreys. Look at them. They're a mess. Hey, man, if you were 17 and a millionaire and driving a Ferrari and having people come out of the woodwork all the time, what would you be like? What would you be like if all this started? And when you're a hot chick, this stuff starts at 14 and it doesn't end. It's people, why don't do homework?
You're
we're going out.
You're a celebrity in your middle school.
You're a celebrity. And you get to go out and have fun, make money, whatever. I mean, Brian, you could imagine the sharp contrast between that and our high school days.
Please, it's not even comparable.
We had no choice. I had a choice between practicing football or going back to the sweat box with my two horrible parents and staring at a ceiling and possibly rubbing one out. Those were the options. But if some 31-year-old chick like picked me up in a Corvette and went, hey, I got a place in Malibu.
Let's party.
I would go in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. And if somebody said, you want to walk out every night with $400 cash, all you got to do is get up there and shake your moneymaker. I would do it in a second. I don't know anyone in my group of dudes that wouldn't do it. So when we go like, hey, why didn't you do your homework? Like, especially,
the other option was making hundreds of dollars.
And then you add in the absent mom and the absent dad and the not getting, you're going back to nothing. There's nothing over there, but over here is a bunch of excitement, bunch of money, bunch of booze, and a bunch of attention. I don't know who amongst us wouldn't have taken that road. Now, what we do is ugly, smelly guys, as we sit there with our arms full and go, well, you should have never done that. Why don't you have enough respect? I absolutely would have done that when I was 16, 17. I would have done that from 14 and a half to 32. Easily. I don't even know how I wouldn't have done that, but it never arose. Mm-hmm. There's no temptation. Exact same. So you had that and you were pulled away from whatever your life was.
It's funny, before I chose to go into porn, I really researched it a lot. I don't think a lot of other girls
same
have gone
here.
To porn.
Me too. I never made the move.
No, but I mean, I read blogs like, okay, if I want to have in the early 2000s when I got in there, I looked at the girls who were successful and it said, get a contract. I'm like, okay, I need a contract. So they market me well. So I only have to do 6 movies a year and I get the publicity to make more money on the road. I read, do girl only until you get that contract. Don't come in and take it in the butt in your first movie. And so,
yeah, like Dave Sheridan. he didn't really. Close enough.
But, I researched it and I did everything that I read and I did the girl and then I signed a contract with Kick-Ass Pictures. And then a couple months after I signed, and it was funny because I negotiated between Vivid, Kick-Ass, and Jill Kelly Productions. And with Vivid, they had a big name and I was like, oh, I could be a Vivid girl. But the other company, Kick-Ass, was a brand new company. And I had seen when Jenna was the first Wicked girl, Tara Patrick was the first Digital Playground girl, that if you're the first girl for that company, since they're trying to build their name, they're going to market you more. So I signed with Kick-Ass Pictures. And 3 months later, he asked me if I wanted to run for governor. And so
that's right.
That was a big deal.
Forgot about
that. Well, it's amazing because I only lived in L.A. for 6 months. And then I was running for governor. My first movie wasn't out yet. And my Playboy show wasn't airing. So it was just kind of like overnight, then I was running for governor.
Hey, can you think about reopening that campaign? Because now we're going to either have Garcetti. Oh, no, sorry. We're going to have Villaraigosa or we're going to have
Gavin Newsom.
And I would, you'd get my vote out of those two.
Yeah.
You would get my vote.
I mean, I'd love to
vote.
Run again. Everyone always asks me, but in the recall election, you only need 65 signatures to get on the ballot. Regular election, I think it's 800,000 or something. So it's much harder to get the signatures.
So you, I remember Jenna Jameson when she was starting out, a weird, I had this weird moment at a like fabric shop. I went into one of these like places, like the Fabric Barn or something, and Hobby Lobby or something. I was one of these places, and Jenna Jameson was going to come on Kevin and Bean, and she was like breaking and breaking big, super hot young porn star. And they had this bit where it's like, oh, Mr. Burcham was going to like take his some of his tools and give her a working over. And I was trying to think, all right, how's this going to work? And I thought, well, if I take one of those vibrating pad sanders, they feel pretty good. They just vibrate. And instead of putting sandpaper on it, I'll put a piece of velvet on it, maybe rub it on her boobies or something like that. And so,
you know how to please a woman, Ace. Yeah.
This is early radio. We're doing what we can.
Yeah.
And we got to beat Rick Dees, you know.
Sure.
And so,
your marching orders.
Rick would have done
and
the same
Baker
thing.
Boys.
Yep.
Yeah. And I said, all right, I'll figure out this bit and I'll be ready to go tomorrow. And I go over to like the strip mall and I go to the Fabrics Plus or whatever it is. And I go in there and I'm like, I was doing something with like a drill and like a French tickler or something. And I said, you have like a feather duster and just need like a swatch of like black or red velvet. And the chick behind the counter was like, yeah. Have fun. Wink, wink. And I was like, how do you know what I'm up to? But yes, I am up to. I am going to apply this to a porn star in like 14 hours. But how dare you?
Assuming.
And then what do you know?
What
how
I'm
do
doing?
You know what I know? I can't a guy just come in and buy some fabric?
Like buy a single swatch of velvet?
I don't know. I still think she crossed the boundary.
Yeah.
She went into my personal space. Maybe I like paintings of Elvis.
How dare you for accurately guessing what I was
going
to do?
I just remember like looking down going, absolutely not. So Jenna was like a role model.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I realize now maybe like not the best role
Probably
model.
Probably not now.
When you're like, you know, I mean, my other role model was like Pamela Anderson though too. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted to get big, big boobs because I was like, I want to be like Pamela Anderson. And so, Marilyn Monroe was another one. I idolized Marilyn Monroe and like not the greatest. Like I was idolizing someone who died of like basically alcoholism and pills. But you know.
But so.
Those are my heroes.
So you come
growing
out.
Up.
you come out from Florida. How old are you when you come out?
21.
From 21.
Yeah.
Specifically because you need to be 20. I mean, porn
no,
is 18.
I was still in college at the time. I was going to, I went to Florida State originally on a dance scholarship. And then I had to transfer back to FAU. And then I was a theater major at FAU and on the dance team. So I was doing that. And I wanted to finish college. But,
I feel like you're overqualified for porn.
I think so too, actually.
But then what
but at the same time, I look at it as I was kind of stupid with the money when I was younger, but because I researched the business, I mean, a lot of girls in porn are like, wow, you didn't do that many movies for like, you know, being in the Hall of Fame. And so I really just, and then after I ran for governor, I went, that's when I got to direct my movies and stuff. And, you know, but I am maybe a little overqualified.
What is?
But porn's killed brain cells. I feel like the longer you're in this business, you get dumber.
What is the move? Like if and I know like the money, I guess is it sort of like bands now where they go, it's not the recording, it's the playing. You got to go out on the road. Like you got to get
that
the name
was,
built
yeah.
up and then you got to mm-hmm. go to the club mm-hmm. and you got to make your money.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly. I mean, like when I had my porn contract, it was for $92,000 for the six movies. But then the money that I got from doing an appearance every weekend, you know, I was booked every single weekend.
Right.
And especially back in like the early 2000s, that was like $8,000 to $10,000 a weekend. You know, like 8,000 guaranteed, and then the tips,
yeah.
and
no,
so, and then my website back then, porn websites did well because you know people couldn't get it all for free, and
yeah.
so we're building up the name, but you know, but then I always had guys steal it from me. So,
Well,
see, there I turned into a cliche porn star. Porn stars always get guys who steal their money.
Did so yeah, so it's like the great aforementioned Mike August says you have to gig off stuff. It's
true.
Like
mm-hmm.
if you are. Part of, you know, Howard Stern's posse,
mm-hmm.
you don't get rich doing the radio
right.
show, but you go out and you gig on
yeah.
weekends and you do clubs or you do whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. You build this name over here and then, you know, in radio, Jimmy'd, you know, Jimmy'd be over there at the sports bar on, you know, Monday Night Football. I'd be at the Big O Tire on a Saturday in Burbank for from 10 to noon, you know, and you get $400 and that's how you do it.
That's exactly how it is. You know, you build up your name.
Looking at something that Gary's writing, but I don't know. I don't know why.
I was trying to prove your point.
Oh. I was at an RV park last Saturday.
Oh, were you?
I was. It was pretty fun. Had a bunch of people
show
up. I want
to get booked to go to an RV
it's
park.
So
it wasn't a booking. She's trying to find a vehicle that would hold her bosom.
Thank you.
And
thank
she
you.
Was like, the Subaru ain't cutting it.
When I look at Ray, I'm like, why? Why would anybody want big boobs?
You know what? Now they are, like, now I want them smaller.
You do?
Well, I got them to like 500 cc's, but then after I did celebrity rehab, I gained a lot of weight in celebrity rehab. So I was like, I know. Like, one day I just woke up. I was like, my boob to stomach ratio is not the same. I'm going to double my boobs so that I still have the same
to keep the silhouette. Yeah.
Very, I should have just thought, like, maybe I should eat less, but that didn't, you know, occur to me. But, like, yeah. And then now I'm like, oh my God, they're so big, but we'll see.
I don't think there's any complaints. Yeah.
It's one of those.
I had noticed.
It is.
I'm wearing a conservative shirt.
They were in a conservative.
It's just conservative. Okay. I'm trying to learn how to dress more like a lady in normal life.
So, is there money in porn anymore outside of the gigging part?
You know, I don't really know.
I can't figure out what the model is. It's free and it's online.
It's different.
Where's
now, exactly.
The money?
It's very different when I stopped doing it. And I'm only really good friends with one girl who just retired a year or two ago. It was Lisa Ann. And I know for her, there was a lot of money with it, but it was, you know, you're having to shoot like 10 scenes a month. And I mean, I think the days of the contract girl, which was what you wanted to be when you're younger because you shoot very little and you get good money for your scenes, I don't think that's there now. So that's one of the things when I'm like, okay, if the young boyfriend breaks up with me and I go back to porn, because I'd be too heartbroken to be in love with anyone else. Mm-hmm. So I would just go do porn. I'm like, but what I don't want to have to do, I don't, you know, I would only want to shoot like 6 movies or something. But I mean, again, it would help me. I don't know. Right now, since I'm sober, I concentrate on that. I got to figure out what my next, because I'm like, I just turned 37, so I'm not sure how much longer I get to be Mary Carey for.
It's
because, you know, porn star years is like dog years. I'm like 150 right now.
Yeah, unless you run, Jeremy.
That's true.
Then it becomes sea tortoise years or parrot years. Or what's the animal that lives the longest?
Sea tortoise lives a long time.
Yeah.
A couple hundred years.
Hedgehog years.
Hedgehog years.
All right. Let me tell you about Geico, man. Everybody's got the to-do list. How about you add save hundreds of dollars in car insurance to that list, man. You don't have to even leave the house. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why wouldn't you do this? Go to geico.com.
I have Geico.
Oh, good. Well, you don't have to do it.
Thanks for your commercial.
Everyone who doesn't have it, just go to geico.com and spend a few minutes and see if you could be saving a ton on your auto insurance. All right, Gina Grad, why don't we do a little bit of news and Mary Carey, hang out, have fun with us.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I love news.
News with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We'll start with this one because it's pretty fun. LeVar Ball got really into his appearance at WWE Raw, seeing as how he took his shirt off and flexed for All of America Monday night. LeVar was facing off against The Miz in the ring, and as soon as the wrestler mentioned he was the Michael Jordan of WWE, LeVar was up and shouting at the guy. At first, he tries to get his son LaMelo to handle the situation. More on that in a minute.
Someone explain, Melo's already, we don't need to put a D or La in front of Melo. It's already made up name.
Ship has sailed, man. Yep.
Angelo is a former name, and so we should put a D D'Angelo in front of it. Right. But Angelo exists. Melo is not a name, so we don't have to D it or La it because it's already its own. It's bespoke already. Yes. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
So Miz gets right in his face for a little classic trash talk. Then Miz takes off his shirt, and then LeVar takes off his shirt, and here's what happens.
What kind of name is Miz?
This is so that's actually when Ball's youngest son LaMelo reportedly started dropping N-bombs on live TV. Did it twice.
Really?
Yep. The wrestling organization followed it up with a statement. The inappropriate language used by a guest during the Miz TV segment was not scripted nor reflects WWE's values.
I can't figure out what kind of name Miz is.
It's like Brutus the Barber Beefcake, but a little different or shorter.
How does he spell it? M-I-Z?
Like I used to,
he should have two Z's.
When I would watch One Day at a Time, mm-hmm. Ann Romano was Ms. Romano, the mom. Ah. But I'm guessing it's not a reference to Ms. Ann Romano.
It's not an homage to Ms. Ann Romano.
How do they spell Ms.?
M-I-Z?
That's what I just asked.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at Brian. I was thinking about Ms. Romano. I was thinking about Schneider.
Maybe his last name is like Miserati, or, you know, yeah. They call him the Miz.
Miserati.
Oh, Nick Miserati. Says I'm right.
All
right. Oh, it is?
Yeah, okay.
His full name is Michael Gregory.
I'm happy to say I'm not that caught up in wrestling at this
ripe old age.
At this ripe old age, yes. Actually, never was.
Wrestling
never
was.
You never smelled what The Rock was cooking, or you're not a real American, or
I had this. I think I had the same relationship with wrestling as I did with comic books, mm-hmm. Playing cards, trading cards, like baseball cards, mm-hmm. things of that nature, and or like Star Wars and whatever. It's like I didn't want anything to do with any of it. Right. I just wanted to go outside and fight with my friends or play sports. I wasn't interested in reading or looking at it.
Not comic books for me, but wrestling and specifically and baseball cards were two pillars of my youth.
I've been to so many Royal Rumbles.
Many.
I don't get wrestling, though, because it's scripted and fake, so why wouldn't you just go to a real sport?
Yeah, but to a 9-year-old boy, that's...
It's the best!
The best!
I don't know. Yeah, I never liked it.
I
like real sports.
Yeah, you're either... It's the,
as an adult, you should.
And as a kid, I like ballet. So.
It's the avocado of sports. I know it's been said many times, but the thing about the avocado is, like, you're either in or you're out. You love avocados, right. Or they're too weird and slimy, texture, yeah. And I have no interest mushy. In it. There's nobody that's like, I like an avocado, but not all the time, or whatever. Mm. Like, the people, big fans in here, we love it.
Sure.
All the time. And by the way, put on eggs.
Everything.
Put on a sandwich. Put it next to
eat
anything.
Eat it plain. I like avocado.
Eat it plain. Right. And then there's the handful that freaked out because it's slimy or whatever it is. And that's what I say about the, you know, Cousin Sal was in crate, dressed up like Rowdy Roddy Piper. Went to Madison Square Garden. Yes. All right. Sorry.
So this is the video where LeVar did his trash talking with
he Miz. Has mannequins on stage with his apparel.
is that weird? Should he not do that?
Seems like it.
Yeah, you did mention gilding the lily.
This is Les LeVar Ball's the Ball family logo, and yes, I believe that is a prime marketing opportunity.
They weren't
to
just
a new
in
audience.
The neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. This is yeah. Here we go.
But. It seems weird to have mannequins with your apparel on it.
Much
on
of what they stage? Do is weird. Yeah. Much okay. of what they do.
Go ahead.
Oh, what, are you going to unleash all the balls on me?
JV.
Uh-oh, LeVar's up on the ropes.
No, I don't want to deal with your kids, mouth. I want to deal with you, because you do a lot of this, and all I want you to do is prove it.
Boy, you better stay in your lane.
He's a Jewish guy. Oh, people aren't watching.
LeVar.
Oh, the hunt is on, and you the prey.
I love this dad. I wish my dad was like this guy.
Hey. Oh, boy, you're making me shoot.
He's fighting one of the Baldwin brothers. This guy looks like
put your clothes
Steve Baldwin.
Up, man. You ain't the only man holding
my shirt off. Oh, LeVar's shirt's getting popped off.
Oh, he looks good. Hey, can I say this? Brian, where are you with this?
Let's hear it.
I like the Freaks of Nature wrestlers, even though I don't follow it. And I'm fine with the massive, the kind of guys where you'd go, look, obviously it's not a real sport and anything, but that guy would bend me into a pretzel, mm-hmm. throw me out through the dome, whole opening of the dome and the roof. The new mm-hmm. breed of the guy's 6'1", and he probably walks around about 185, yeah. but he'll pump up with some creatine and get to maybe 210.
Yeah,
the sort of guy that didn't make his junior college football team. Like he was sort of between a safety and a linebacker. He was too slow to play safety and not big enough to play linebacker. I don't know if I want to see that guy.
Yeah, Christy watches Total Divas and loves it. And one of the male characters on there is Daniel Bryan, who apparently was a massive star. He's not physically impressive. He's kind of schlubby. Not schlubby, but he's you wouldn't look twice if that just passed you.
Right. No. You know what this is? This is medium-sized dick in a porn. Not interested. I mean,
show me something impressive or make
a spectacle.
Used to
be very impressive. People like The Rock and Hulk Hogan. Yeah, China. You look at China.
Andre the Giant, The Undertaker.
I like a guy with, you know, I have nothing against a guy with a medium-sized dick, but stay out of porn. That's not.
Gary, put up a video of Daniel Bryan's dick. No, put up a Daniel Bryan and show what I'm talking about.
Well, isn't CM Punk? I didn't
he's
know
a big guy.
How big
know.
He was.
I don't know much about him.
You know, he's not a big guy.
He's not?
I don't know much about him.
He's a fairly slender guy.
Oh.
He fought in the UFC at 205 or 185 or whatever it is. I mean, that's not... it's not the Undertaker and these guys just massive.
That's what I loved about that era of wrestling when I watched in the late 80s. That was my, and Gina, you probably watched too. It was like you either had those specimens, those Ricky the Dragon Steamboats who could go off the top rope and do crazy things, or you had the theatricality, the Brutus the Barber.
He fought the honky tonk man.
He fought in the South.
Fought in UFC at 170. Yeah.
What do you weigh right now?
He's lithe.
What do you weigh?
172.
All right.
He's listed at 6'2, 190 walking around.
That's a slender guy.
But he goes down to 170 at 6'2".
Fighters cut all the time. Yeah, I'm 6'2 and 200 pounds. Man. So that's not a big dude. Okay, don't need him.
Yeah.
Nothing personal, but I want to see the freak.
Something we're marveling at.
Yes, I agree.
Do you remember GLOW?
Yeah, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Thank Come you. On, man.
The Fabulous Moolah.
That's right.
They had the big ladies in there.
Well... Sorry to slow your roll.
She's a really bad example. Wasn't she a big lady?
We're going to sit down and I'm going to explain the human brain, the male brain.
You were there for the farmer's daughter one.
Not interested on the female side. Here's how guys are wired. We just went whoever looks best in a bathing suit.
Yes.
Right. Like, we're not interested in the freaks of nature.
I want Mary Carey in the ring.
Right. Yeah. On the male side, that's where we want the freaks of nature.
Yep.
All right.
By the way, the GLOW series is up on Netflix.
I heard about it. I just saw a commercial for it. All right. Let me tell you about the Smart Mouth, and then we'll get back into it. Dual solution oral rinse. Only activated mouthwash. Clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur gas. I should say nothing ruins an intimate moment. Quickly, stinky breath, man. I don't care who you are, man. If your mouth smells like wet garbage, you're out of there, man. Drew, the aforementioned Dr. Drew, loves this stuff because he loves technology. He's a man of science, and he'll tell you about the zinc ion technology and how it binds to the sulfur, cuts that smell. Anyway, you love it, don't you? Foul breath. It can ruin a social situation and sabotage relationships or career prospects. Let's not do that. Let's get some Smart Mouth. Go to smartmouth.com or find it at Walgreens, Walmart, CVS, wherever you shop, man. Smart Mouth. All right, Gina Grad, let's do one more.
All right. Well, we talked about this the other day about celebrities who've posed nude during their pregnancy, and now Serena Williams is doing it. The tennis star is naked and showing off her little bare baby bump right there on the screen if you want to see it on the new cover of Vanity Fair. 35-year-old tennis great is 7 months into her first pregnancy with fiancé Alexis Ohanian. The picture was taken by famed photographer Annie Leibovitz. Inside the issue, Serena reveals how she discovered she was pregnant and said she was surprised even after 6 positive pregnancy tests. She also learned the news just before the Australian Open, which she dominated and won. Serena believes she will bounce right back into playing shape soon after giving birth and expects to resume her tournament play by January.
I wonder a couple things. What do you think she walks around at, speaking of walking around
when she's just in her prime?
Because she could be 180 pounds.
We have to know her height
and
first.
Could look good. But I mean, I don't think she's short. I don't think she's tall. I think I've interviewed
5'9",
her
I think
sister
she's like
before.
165 then.
I would go over just because she's so much muscular.
55.
Yeah.
How much?
5'9", 155.
Oh. Well,
yeah,
wow.
But that's whatever on her driver's license or whatever.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, she's built strong. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I'll tell you why. Because as we've previously discussed, I feel like it's intrusive. I feel like it's weird. It's the most beautiful thing in the world that I don't want to see. I believe it'll freak the kid out later on at some point because friends are going to make fun of him.
Yep.
I would make fun of. If my buddy Ray had a picture of him inside his mom, I would never stop struggling with it.
Yeah. It would show up on his locker.
Right. Also, it is fucked out. It's been done and been done over and over and over again. So we don't. It was cool when it was Demi Moore because it was sort of interesting or whatever. Never seen before. Now it's become standard fare.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, unnecessary.
Don't need it.
There you go.
You guys are out.
Yeah. But got to be great for everyone else playing professional female tennis.
Yeah, that's your window, man.
Yes.
You got about, what,
the next one,
seven
January,
months?
Yeah. Yeah, so they have...
Well, I mean, these two have been dominating for...
10 years, 15 years.
15
I don't
more.
Know women's tennis that well, but has Serena, like, surpassed Venus? Is she the one known?
Oh, yeah,
I think
right?
So.
I think
yeah.
so.
I think so. I don't even know who's older, but...
Well, I thought she was older than 35 because she's been around so long. I didn't realize
literally
she was so
been
young.
Dominating for like 18 years. Something it'll go down as one of the longest runs.
Yeah.
Venus since, is 2 years older.
Since Gordie Howe.
Well, then, yeah, there was that sort of fake controversy dust up with John McEnroe the other day.
Oh, what was that? Was that
she's,
fake?
She's, who knows? I'm sure, you know, he needed, I think he has maybe a new book out or something. That, you know, she's a good tennis player, but she's a good female tennis player and would probably be ranked around 700 if it was a co-ed.
I'm going to challenge you because for some reason I remember hearing 300.
Oh,
but now
we 700.
Have, well, we'll figure
700 is what I'm
we'll
seeing
figure
in
it out.
Article.
Hold on. Yeah, but still. where did I hear 300 for? Anyway, I got too much
You're
going.
Watching, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So 700. Now, this is interesting. I wonder where she would be ranked.
Yeah.
It's a sort of asinine statement to make, but at some point, she would be ranked if she played against males, and might she be 61 or 39?
27. Or, 27.
How would it matter, though, if it's about hand-eye coordination and agility? Yeah. She has a lot of power.
Yeah.
I would assume
that's
enough.
That's my question. Would her skills not translate into the male game? I mean,
yeah, they would.
Different.
That's why she'd be ranked 61.
Yeah. This is awesome.
She'd be in the top 100. But what you'd have to do is you'd have to go with the best male player, and you go, could she beat that? And then you just keep going down the line until you got to, I think she could beat that dude. Mm. And then that's where she'd I think that's where
the
rank.
Dude who's currently ranked 701 spoke up and said he thought he could beat her.
Oh, of course he did.
I love that.
What a
I
dick.
Love that.
Well,
why
yeah,
even 61 though? I mean, I just don't know. It's not like a it's not a contact sport. You know, she has the hand eye coordination. She has the agility. She has the reps. Why would it? Why wouldn't
she's
it be even
broad.
Higher?
But she's probably stronger than a lot of the guys.
Why
look how muscular she is, and she's probably just as strong.
Well, you guys are working on a weird premise, which is if she could. Beat men in men's tennis, I think she would go play men's tennis. I don't know what would stop her from getting more money and more accolades and more whatever and going into the male ranks. I don't think
but do
they would
do,
prevent
is,
her.
Do they do that?
I don't think
besides Billie Jean King and
I don't think in this day and age I would venture to guess Bobby Riggs is who you're
thinking
of.
They're making a movie about that. It's coming out this summer.
I would venture to guess that if she or her sister or any female wanted to play in the male circuit and thought they could beat males or be competitive in the male circuit, I don't think they would turn that kind of publicity away.
I don't know about a major, but there were certainly many tournaments that would welcome that. Can you imagine the tickets and the attention that would go?
So do you think it's like, why risk it? We got a good thing going. I'm number one.
You guys are missing this concept, which is they're not going to beat any of the guys in the top 50. But that, I don't know. Maybe it's the top 25, but I don't think it's the top 10. You see what I'm saying? So you'd be much better off dominating over here than being number 31 or 13
or
118.
No. Yeah, no, and that's kind of what I was saying was why risk it? She is number one.
Yeah, but before that, you're saying why couldn't she? And the answer is I don't know that much about tennis. She's strong. She's an athlete.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's that. But the guys are whatever sport you pick. Have an advantage. First off, the guy's 6'2". So, you know what you got to figure out, Gary? What is her serve miles per hour, and what's
Rafael
compare
Nadal?
It. Yeah, exactly.
Venus Garyalaitis. No, wow. Rafael Nadal. What is the fastest male serve, and then her serve, and then if you find out that his serve is 9 miles an hour faster, you'd go, well, that's what you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Right. That's thank you. I should be a judge or something, shouldn't I? Should somebody put me somewhere where I make decisions? Mm-hmm. So she's an amazing, phenomenal athlete who is dominant in her sport. But if she moved over to the guys, I don't know. I don't want to be disrespectful and say she wouldn't be in the top 50. But I'm guessing she wouldn't be in the top 10, and then it would be not worth it.
But even if she was, to your point, like if she was number 10, 11, 9, whatever it is, I think there's more value in being the dominant number one women's player than there is being one of the better men
That's
in
a
the
huge
men's
difference.
Division.
Yeah, well, and this is
like what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Now find me a mirror.
It's interesting because if we're going, I mean, it's just a fraction, but Venus actually is faster than Serena, and Serena is number one.
They're a tick over 200 miles an hour in their serve. K per hour.
Just go miles per hour.
120. High 120s. 129, 128. The men are, top guys are 160s.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. Yeah. There's a marked difference.
That was my point, Gina Grad.
So that's why she stays with
Thanks
the women.
Thanks for taking the scenic route so we could all get on board.
Well, it's right there. It's
that's 30, what I'm saying.
There's
Thank
a 30
you.
Mile an hour plus difference, yeah. and that's a lot faster. That ball's coming at you, and that's the difference between them. That's why the women's division is a women's division. But it's, you know, that's, I don't know what bowling is. You have to. I mean, you have to pick a sport that doesn't involve a physicality or as much physicality, and then well, it's not a slight. You guys live longer. Get a break on your car insurance. It's a better life.
We do get a break on our car
insurance. I think we do. I didn't know that.
See, I would be surprised because she's such a phenom. I'd be surprised that the male served 35 miles an hour faster. Right. But that's the difference, and so that's why. And I, as somebody who's listening is smart. Could venture a guess at where she would rank.
Well,
not 700, but in the top 50?
I'd be interested in
top 25.
Well, why don't we just look and see when the speed of the men get to what hers is?
128.3.
Like, yeah, when, like, is it the
You are the smartest porn star in the world. Poor Gary's pulled his hair out over there.
Like,
go
why don't we just
all
look
the world
at the
rankings
speeds.
And go down to when
And then
you,
when we find the speed that's hers,
well,
she would be there maybe.
And
but maybe a little bit better.
Yes. And and Mary is right in that when you're trying to arrive somewhere, you go, all right, what's one thing we could use, one measuring stick we could use to measure something that would be an equal or some jumping off point for something? And of course, you know, winds aren't going to do it and height and weight, not probably going to do it. But yes, if you went down the male rankings, went to the speed of the serve and stopped at 129 and saw what rank that is, it wouldn't be definitive, but it would be helpful.
A good, yeah, measuring stick.
She'd be like plus or minus 5 from there, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. We're still looking for
what I wow. Somebody did go to college. All right, I'll tell you guys while Gary's looking, and
Sexy
I don't have
college.
Any idea how you find that. Simply, you know, I'm usually mad when you don't find stuff, Gary. I'll give you a pass on this one. Simply Safe, man. You take precautions every day. You have a protective case for your phone. You have identity theft protection. We were talking about that before. What about the home? What about the family? What about Simply Safe? No hassle. Just order online. Completely wireless. Comes in a pre-programmed case. So you just plug it in and install it yourself, and you do it in under an hour. No activation fees. No holes in your walls to expose wires. No mess of pulling everything. Round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch. Only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contracts. So it's easy. Go to Simply Safe. Two I's in there. S-I-M-P-L-I. Simply Safe, Adam.com. You get the 10% off when you order today. But you got to get going. That's at simplysafeadam.com. Get you 10% off. Good company. Get a break on your insurance. Get all set up real quick. Like, all right. Let's
Here's
bring
what
it
I can
home.
Tell you. If you drop down to 30 in the men's ranking, it's still at 144. That's kind of where that list stops. So even at 30, so presumably around 50 or 60, you get into her range.
Right, and she's probably used to facing the serve coming at her in the high teens or 120 slower. And so now it's coming at the 150, 160 in the top rankings of the guys. And the ball coming at you 40 miles an hour faster is going to make a difference.
And for the guys, it'll be much easier because her ball will be so much slower than what they're used to.
Boy, I've got to say something there, Karen. I have not checked Jenna Jameson's IQ lately, but I got to believe it would be a little bit. Well, it'd be slower. Like
Or we could have just believed you from the beginning when you said 60.
That's right. Well, maybe she will land at 60. I don't know. And the reality is nobody can tell.
Right.
Yeah. No one would know until they actually played. But if she definitely, whether it's this or the UFC or the NBA, I think if there's a woman that could go hang, I think they'd be leaving a ton of money on the table not to go over there and try it. And we and she, this can't be the first time somebody thought of this.
Oh, yeah.
And she obviously figured it out and realized it's not going to be that competitive at that level. All right. Let's bring it home, baby
you
girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Great news.
All right. Great news with Gina Grad, everybody.
I love it.
Go to amkroll.com. You want to find out anything about us. Live shows all over the place. Vegas coming up, Caesar's Palace, Thursday, July 13th. No Safe Spaces. We're still going on with our crowdfunding, so go to nosafespace.com. Say hi to me and Prager over there. 24-Hour War, my movie. Tom Arnold didn't see that one. He loved all the other ones. But, hey, this one's ranked and reviewed even better than the new one. So check that out, chassis.com. Also, Reasonable Doubt, that's July 20th, down at Garrigus's place. We're doing a town hall, so enjoy that. Just go to amcroll.com, wherever you need. The event, the Diamond G-String Contest.
You guys should all come.
Hosted.
My first time hosting a stripper contest.
Let's work some of that hot tennis talk into it, because that's what the crowd is thirsty for. It's Delilah's in Philly. That's Wednesday, July 19th. More info at Delilah's.com, and check out Mary and her website, MaryCarey.com. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Mary Carey, Dave Damaschek.
Thank you.
Gina Grad, thank you. And Paul Bryan, say mahalo. Lame City.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like. Give us your best Frusian Blasio at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio. Terrestrial, that is. Weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise in November. Drunk on a boat. Go to adamcarolla.com.